And I enjoy every time he comes and preaches. And we know that God's going to speak to us. I would just ask that you would open your hearts, because God can speak, but if we have a closed heart, it can't get in where it needs to get in. And so this morning, what do you say? Let's just open up and let's just let God do whatever he wants to do. Amen. Everybody say, God bless Brother Maine.
God bless Brother
Maine. I wonder this morning if we could all just put our hands together and love on Jesus. Come on now, with your hand clap, I wonder if you could just lift your voice and love on him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, if he hasn't heard your voice this morning, could you do it? God, we give you glory. We praise your name. Hallelujah. What a wonderful time it is to be serving the Lord. Amen. There is no other place, and I know this is, I'm not just playing on words. There is no other place I would rather be than in his presence. Amen. We're living in a world that it just tells you to be as you are and just be happy as you are. Folks, I remember where I was before the Lord touched my life, and I wasn't happy. Amen. So I'm thankful to know that God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Hey, if the Lord done it for me, he can do it for you. Yes. Yes. Amen. And what an honor it is to be able to be in Nacogdoches this morning. I count it such a high privilege every time that we are invited to be able to fill this pulpit. And what an honor it is to be able to have the confidence not only of your pastor, but of the church to be able to, not to replace him, but to be able to stand in his absence this morning. And I want to say I give your pastor, the First Lady, honor. And this is such a great man. He's been a very, very sure voice for us over this last year. And I say that I give Pastor Crosswhite and Sister Crosswhite honor today. There is no place that you and I should desire to go that would ever cause us to question our relationship with God. I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I had no idea that today was All Nations Sunday, and I am going to do my very best to follow what I feel that the Holy Ghost has spoken. I look across the congregation and I see new faces, and that is always something to rejoice over. I see familiar faces, and that's something to rejoice over as well. Amen. But if we ever get to the place where we are comfortable, to the point of where we have grown and the vision is no longer forward facing, then my friend, we need a reality check and we need to wake up, because God has so much more for each of us than where we are right now. Amen. And in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 16, as you're turning there, I do want to say to all of our guests today, thank you so much for being in the house of the Lord with us. I do want to say you worship God and you respond to God the way you know how, and he'll do the rest. Amen. I wish I had more than five people awake with me this morning. Amen. I look at all these flags and I love missions, and we're actually going to Brazil. That flag, we're going to Brazil in November this year. We went last year, and in 8 days there was 37 people filled with the Holy Ghost. And so we give God glory for that. And they'll have to endure me and, well, my family's going with me this time. So my wife intended to be here this morning, and she's pretty sick. So if y'all would, y'all keep praying for her. But I'm going to do my very best to follow the Holy Ghost right now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse number 8, it would read as such, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. Serving God should never usher you into a place where you are fearful to be obedient to him. For he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. By the help of the Lord this morning for a little while, if I may, I want to title this, The Waiting, the Warfare, and the Door." And if you would, I know this isn't probably what you're used to, but I wonder if you could put your Bible to the side and that we could all lift our hands and we could spend a moment and we could say, "God, if there's anything in my life that would keep me from hearing you today, would you separate it? God, would you forgive me today? Would you do it with me? Would you lift your hands, lift your voice? I love you, Jesus. I praise you. God, we need you to talk to us. We need your help. My God, I feel you talking right now. God, you tell me who it's about. Amen. And you may be seated. I believe that there are three stages in every child of God's walk, the journey in the pursuit of relationship. The places that seem quiet, the waiting. The places where it feels like everything around us is shaking, the warfare. And then the place where you and I get the revelation and the ability to grow beyond our own ability, it is the door. Some of you under the sound of my voice are in a waiting season. You've prayed and you've fasted. You're holding on what seems to be like with all of your might just for the another opportunity for God to touch you. For you to get through this season of waiting, and it seems like nothing is changing, that it seems like it is the longest trial of your lifetime. There are others that are in the middle of the warfare of your relationship with God. You are facing now in these moments many adversaries, as a Bible would depict, and we are facing the attack on the mind. We are facing the attack on the apostolic faith, and every sure foundation that you have developed in your relationship and pursuit with God.
I am seeing where the family unit is becoming more and more dysfunctional within, oh God help us, within the church. The family unit is no longer the portrait of what God tried to develop, but it is the striving and it is the warfare just to hold on. It is the fighting for your anointing. It's the fighting for your desire to walk into the house of God. And then some are standing on the greatest breakthrough that you'll ever have in your relationship with God. It's the doors that God is opening. It is the revelation that God is opening. But we stand at this door. And it is a place where you must strive in your relationship with God. I will tarry at Ephesus, is what Paul would begin to depict. He said, I am staying in this place. I'm not looking for another church. Y'all's going to have to help me this morning. I'm not looking for greener pastures. I'm not looking for a new doctrine. I'm not looking for some other great revelation beyond what the Word of God says. I don't want to allow myself to get in between what God is trying to do and what my own mind is trying to tell me that I am going to do. I am going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, because I know that if I can wait on the Lord long enough, that He will renew my strength. I believe that the waiting, that it should never usher you to the point where it destroys you. The warfare, it should never allow you to feel defeated to the point where you stop growing. And the door is not for you to run away when it gets hard. Paul stayed in Ephesus because he knew that if he could stand still long enough, he'd be able to hear the voice of God. Because waiting on God, if anybody tells you that waiting on God to move is easy, they're a liar. I'm sorry, I'm just going to be me for just a little while this morning. Brother Pearl, if anybody tells you that they enjoy waiting on the voice of God to talk or a place of direction to come, my friend, I've never met anybody that likes to get to the place where it feels like you're in limbo. It feels like you are struggling. It feels like you're fighting the battle of a lifetime. But it's the waiting. I am going to position myself during the quiet times in my relationship with God. Paul didn't run away. Can I just follow what I feel in the Holy Ghost this morning? Paul didn't just run away when it got hard. Paul didn't just run away because he didn't get his way. He stayed because stopping long enough to position yourself, it's where you align your desires to the will of God. Sometimes God will push you into the hard places for you to grow. Not to break you, but to break your will. Because in our mind, and in the age that we are living in, it's a do it now, God. I don't want to wait. But if God delivered to you right now everything that you've been praying about, every blessing that you need, and every bit of strength that you need, I wonder how many of us would quit serving God honestly.
if we just looked at him as just the provider and not... I'm sorry, I don't want just a handout, Jesus. I want a relationship. Because if I ever turn him into just an ATM where I only desire him when I need him, then folks, I've missed a whole thing of relationship. I've missed a reason why he went to Calvary. I've missed the whole big picture of it all. Because God was trying to get me to align with him so he can make me greater than what I would ever be able to become on my own. It is a hard place. I need somebody to hear me. When God brings you to a waiting place, it's not punishment, but it's to position you. Because we get running in our feet and we say, God, how long is the night? But I think we soon forget that he gives us songs for the night. And those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And it's the preparation to become what I know that I couldn't become on my own. Your waiting should never become just a wasted place. It's the refining fire that pulls things out of you that you can't carry forward with you. There's things that God, there's natures and there's ethics and there are certain character traits that God has to pull out of us before we can go forward from this point. But it's a refining fire. In that refining place is where we're put to the test, Elder. I don't know about y'all, but I'm just a young man. But how are you, my friend? But man, there's been times where it seems, I hope I can do this, it seems like the weight of the world's fixing to crush me in my walk with God. Because God, I haven't seen you move in my life the way I desire, but also I made up my mind on what God can and cannot do. And so did I really position myself in that waiting place to say, God, I'm tired of being right here, so whatever I have to do to get through the waiting, God, I am prepared to become more than what I've ever been. The silversmith was asked, and in the Bible it says, and the refining of silver. And that intrigued me. And so I started reading, and I listened to an audio interview of a silversmith. And the lady that was doing the interview, she said, sir, you are a master silversmith. She said, so how do you know when the refining process is completed? He got a little smile on his face, Elder. And he said, when I can see my reflection in the silver. Oh, God, here we go. The waiting is a refining process where God gets to see his reflection in you. The waiting is where God says, okay, I am pulling you so I can be a reflection of who I am in you. Because, Brother Chad, the reality of it is if I reach over and pinch you, it's still going to hurt. There's still trials. There are still hardships. And in the waiting, we make up our mind, I'm either going to stand firm right here and I am going to live for God, even though the hardness is right at this point.
I know it's a Sunday morning, and I know we showed up wanting to run the aisles, and I know that we're supposed to push on a Sunday morning. I didn't feel that this morning. And as I was praying, I said, God, I said, I need you to help Tim Main today. There's things I'm facing. There's things we're going through right now. It's a battle of a lifetime. Hey, and I'm telling you, if we ever get so comfortable with God being quiet, if we ever get so comfortable with him not seeing his reflection in us. It says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Hard seasons are there not to embarrass you, but to expose what we have allowed to separate us from him. I can ask this question, and I don't want anybody to audibly answer this. Please don't. Or don't raise your hand whenever I ask this. But how many of us this week was so busy that we forgot to even pray every day? God, I'm so busy that I have become barren to you. I've become barren in my relationship. But in the waiting, God allows us to pull back. God allows us to realign. If you endure through the waiting, that, my friend, is where you get to experience the outpouring. Opposition. Where it said, and there are many adversaries. Opposition, and this is something to rejoice and get excited over. Opposition is evidence that God's working in your life. Opposition is a sure evidence that God is doing something great. Because whenever you're not fighting things, I think that we have grown to the place where it's okay to coast by. Because as long as the devil ain't fighting me, I think I'm doing good. No, I think if everything is going so good, you should look in the mirror and say, oh my goodness, what's fixing to happen? Paul said many adversaries as oppositions. Because many people think when troubles come and our relationship with God becomes so strenuous that it feels like a duty instead of feeling like joy. That it feels like God has abandoned me during the waiting, and so there is now the warfare of the mind. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's 2 Timothy 3:12. If you're under attack, that's the time to start rejoicing. If you're going through hard places, that is a time that you should lift your hands, because hell knows that you're dangerous at that place. Warfare, it begins to develop a spiritual desire. God is not going to give his anointing to somebody that has not been tested. Listen to me right now, because everything that you go through should be a testament of how good our God is. I wish I had a house full of people that believe that right now. It's every spiritual blow. It's every trial. It's every struggle that has strengthened your faith. It strengthened your character to where the Bible says, count it all joy. Every blow that you survive, it prepares you for the promotion that's waiting just on the other side of the door. Because I want you to hear me right now.
Because the enemy can never match the spirit that is within you. I need somebody to understand what I just said. The enemy can never match the spirit that is within you. The enemy may be fighting, but greater is he that is within me. Your adversaries may be scheming. They may be strategizing. They may be attacking. But I'm thankful to know that he is a very present help in the time of trouble, and that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Resistance in warfare allows you to get to the place where you understand that you're not just too small. You're not just individual. You're not alone. Because in the warfare, it causes you to get to a place of unity. It causes you to get to the place where you finally realize that you can't do this on your own. I need somebody to listen to me right now. Your adversary is not your authority. Your adversary and what you're going through and what you're facing, that is not the final judgment call. You say, Brother Maine, I've been struggling for a long time. Praise God. Brother Maine, how in the world are you going to say, praise God, that I've been struggling? At least you can still feel. But I wonder how many times we get so comfortable right here that it becomes so easy to give up. To say, I'm done fighting. I'm just going to lay here. Whatever happens, whatever comes of me, that's it. Because I'm done fighting like I've always fought. Because we get so tired of fighting things. We get tired of fighting our mind. So we... Y'all just hear me right now, okay? We get so tired of fighting in our mind that we think another pill is going to fix it. It's not just going to fix it. It's going to be a coaxing method. And we want to feel comfortable. And that's the issue with have. What's your name, sis? Brooklyn, my name's Tim. It's nice to meet you. And that's the issue. We want to feel comfortable when everything's going on in our life. As long as I can feel the tingle again, as long as I can just feel him embrace me again, that's all I need. No, that's not all we need. We need a change, and we need God to reach in, and we need God to say, hey, I know that right now you're struggling, but that don't have to be your anthem for tomorrow. But God, I've been fighting and I'm fighting. Praise God, keep fighting. Because the storm don't always last. I promise that there's places in your relationship with God, even right now, that you say, Brother Maine, I'm not so sure about things. My friend, when's the last time you picked up the Word of God? When's the last time you got lost in a prayer meeting? When's the last time you allowed yourself to slip in that intercessory place? And the adversary is reaching in and he is fighting you with everything he can. Just to convince you to quit. Just to convince you that it don't take all that. And I fight, and I fight, and I fight. But you know what's on the other side, Brother Chad? Victory. If you don't let failure be an option, then victory is what follows. But if we ever allow failure to get in our language, if we ever allow defeat to ever become our anthem, then my friend, we will lose out with God. We will just belly up and we'll walk away. And when we don't get our way, and when it seems like God is doing the opposite that I prayed about, you better thank God. I'm going to say this, and I know he's not here this morning. I've said it. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. You better be thankful you got a man of God that still has a backbone to say no. Yes. 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 That's it. Ah. Yes.
Because that voice in the moments of struggle can be the voice of reason. It can be the voice that says, hey man, it ain't as bad as it looks right now. Keep fighting. It ain't about running to greener pastures. It's not about finding somewhere that's easier. It's not about finding somewhere that has less rules, if you want to say it like that. Because whenever we make up our mind that the adversary is not the authority but the voice of God, it trumps everything. It trumps my feelings. It trumps my agenda. And when the voice of God thunders, then I have to be obedient and I have to be submitted to what the Lord is saying. And it's a door. It's not an ordinary door. Because it is the door. It's a divine intersection where God's purpose meets your obedience. Hell will do everything that it can to try to make you quit. Fear will try to stop you, and stress will try to choke out the voice of reason. Doubt will whisper in your ears that you're too late, that you're too far gone. But the doors that the Lord opens, no man can shut. Doors that the Lord opens, it is not just a place of revelation, but it is a place of assignment. To become more for God than what I ever felt like I could be. Because the doors will open a place in your relationship with God that you never thought that you could have had in the past. And I rejoice over that. That God, I'm not enough right now, but God, if you help me, I can be enough. God, and I'm not satisfied with where I am, but God, if you help me, I'm going to become everything that I desire to be in you. The door, it's a kingdom launching right in front of you to where we build the kingdom of God and we get less worried about building our own kingdom. But the doors, and I'm closing, the doors demand faithfulness. The doors demand obedience. The doors demand us to lay down our own pride and ego. My little daughter, she's turning 5 in November. And we were talking the other day, and she said, "So, Dad, what do you do for work?" And she said, "You're always at home. Do you work?" I said, "Yeah, baby, I work." And she said, "No, you don't. You just go and holler at people." Little 5-year-old. Y'all can think I'm crazy. It's okay. Y'all can think I'm crazy. But I'm talking about a door for a moment. I enjoy, there's a glider rocker in my little girl's bedrooms. We got a 2-year-old and she's about to be 5. She said, "Dad, all you do is holler at people." And she said, "That must be a bad job." And I said, "Yeah, it can be a bad job sometimes." This has been about a month ago. Here about a week or so ago, we started facing some things, me and my family did. I went in my little girl's bedroom, and I knelt at the glider rocker where I usually do. I'll probably cry talking about this, but it's okay. Are you Rachel? Rebecca?
Riley. Okay, Rachel must be in class or something. Okay, cool. So, Riley, I always get you mixed up. I knelt down at that glider rocker. My little girl, she's 5. Her name is Genesis. I was knelt in the glider and I was praying. She looked at me and she said, "Daddy, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm praying, baby." And she said, "Oh, you're getting ready for work." I said, "Yeah, baby." I said, "But before we can go to work," I said, "we got to make sure that we have all the right tools." And she said, "Daddy, why do we pray?" She said, "You can get up there and you can holler at people and then we can just leave." This is a 5-year-old, y'all. My God, what kind of example am I setting? And she said, "Daddy," she said, "when you holler and people start crying, did you bring all the tools that you needed?" And she looked at me and she said, "Daddy," she said, "you said that we got to bring the right tools." She said, "Well, make sure." She said, "Daddy, make sure that the tools you bring are the tools that's going to work." And that affected me. Because I wonder how many times we go to walk through the door and we're disgruntled with God. We're disgruntled in our relationship. We're disgruntled with how we have grown. And we blame God for the disgruntledness. And we don't bring the right tools through the doors that God is opening. And a 5-year-old, and I'm closing. A 5-year-old recognized that Daddy was going through a waiting period, a warfare. You know what she said? "What's your name, sir?"
"I'm Glenn."
"Glenn, my name's Tim." Man, that rhymes. That's perfect. Glenn and Tim.
"And I have a 5-year-old girl too."
Come on now. So you can relate with this. You know what she done? I was sitting there, I was in my little rocking chair and I was crying. And she's telling me all this stuff and I feel that conviction. And I said, "God," I said, "you're using a 5-year-old to let me know that I'm going to be all right." Some of this is elementary to some of y'all, and some of y'all is like, "Oh my God, I showed up to church for this." Yeah, because you need it. And then she looked at me. And she said, "Hold on, Daddy, I'll go get a bucket and we can put my tools in there and I'll help you then." We're not in this alone. But if you ever go through the door and you bring your own desire, you bring your own will, Glenn, Chad, and we're picking up things that God intended for us to not to carry. Then Riley, years down the road, where will our relationship with God be if right now, Brother Pirtle, my life ain't perfect. There's things I struggle with. There's situations we struggle with. I'm not talking about struggling with holiness or struggling with doctrinal things. But there's things that I struggle with that I should have left at the threshold that I allow to affect the victory that was on the other side of the door. My God. Because when you walk through the door, it's a place of divine appointment. It's unstoppable if you allow yourself to position with God correctly. Would you stand with me for a moment? I need somebody to hear me right now. As I haven't talked, the only thing Brother Crosswaite sent me was a text message that long about how to get into the Airbnb. I knelt in the chair over there for a few moments, and Apostolic Lighthouse, if I've ever walked into a church and I feel the waiting, the warfare in the door, it's right now. There's things that are pulling on people that have never pulled on people. There are questions about, do I stay or do I go? And my God, Brother Pirtle, I submit myself to you this morning. If I say something out of line, you publicly say, hold on, Brother Main, okay? But I believe we're opening doors that I want to walk through, because it's easy to allow my emotions to cross things up. I knelt in my chair. Sis, you're not an elder yet. Well, you're getting old. No, you're getting old. We're not calling it seasoned. Is it easier? Does it get easier living for God? No. It gets more strenuous. Because we got to have a made up mind. Now I'm going to ask this question. Some of you are going to be honest and some of you are going to lie. Well, that's a way to end a sermon, ain't it? I hope I brought the right tools. From my right to my left, I wonder how many of us are satisfied today. How many of you are satisfied with your relationship with God right now? Or if we got lost in the waiting, we allowed the warfare and the hardship to start defeating our mind. Sis, I want you to hear me. Look at me. Okay? You said not even a week ago, you said, God, I need to know that you're listening to me. God cares more about you than you ever understand. And it seems like there's situation after situation after situation. And you tucked your head in the pillow so nobody could hear you. And you said, how much more can I handle? You need to know God's fighting for you. I don't know you and you don't know me, but God's working on your behalf. You hear me? But it's time you take your hands off of things. It's time that you quit trying to do things on your own. And it's time that you say, God, I release to you what I have held on to for years. You hear me? Because you're more valuable than what you had ever imagined. And right now when I say that, there's things going through your mind saying, no. No, I'm not much. Yes, you are. You don't need to leave this house the same way. You hear me? How many of you are satisfied with your walk with God right now? How many of you are going through the war of a lifetime right now? I wonder this morning, I know it isn't going to be a stampede of people, but I wonder how many of you would be honest right now and just say, I need a little bit more of Jesus this morning. I'm talking to husbands and wives. I'm talking to individuals this morning. That I need a little bit more of Jesus. Now, if that's you, I wonder why she plays. If you could lay something down this morning, step out of your pew, come around this altar, and say, my God, I'm willing to wait on you. Come on, don't wait on anybody else. Don't wait on nobody else this morning.
That's what I'd be willing.
Come on, if it's been a long time since you responded, would you please respond?
For whatever it takes.
Oh, yes,
to be
God.
More like you.
Oh,
that's what I'd be willing to do.
Come on, when you come, would you lift your voice?
Draw closer to you, Lord. That's what I'd be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'd be willing to do.